Welcome back to Let the Quran Speak. We've been doing a series on the pillars of Islam, and this week we're on the fifth and final pillar of Islam, and that is pilgrimage. Brother Shabir, maybe you can tell me what is the significance of pilgrimage. I mean, we talk about different connections that we make when we're performing pilgrimage. Maybe you can speak about that.
Yeah, well, pilgrimage is obviously one of the five pillars of Islam. It's a requirement for Muslims, if they can afford the journey and if the way is safe, that they should perform the pilgrimage at least once in a lifetime. So once is required. Other than that, some Muslims may do it as an optional act.
Mm-hmm. Is there any reason given for performing the pilgrimage within the Quran?
It says,
or is it just sort of you should do this?
Yeah, it says basically that this is a duty owing to God on the part of human beings. But mm-hmm. The reason is not given. If one looks for a reason, one may find it in the statement, "Inna awwala baytin wudiya lin-nasi alladhi bi Bakkata mubaraka," the first house established for the worship of the one God is that at Bakka, mm-hmm. Which now is called Mecca. The foundations for this were said to be laid by the prophet Abraham and his son Ishmael. So there's a very ancient house of worship. So if one looks for a reason, one might say, okay, since this is the first, well, if I'm going to worship anywhere else, why don't I at least try to go and see what this is like, mm-hmm. and to worship there and feel that center of spirituality, which must be associated with the fact that this was the first such place of worship. But other than that, I don't know that anything else is specified. Yes, there is something in Surah 22. It is said that God has given you the rights regarding the pilgrimage, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَعْفِيَ لَهُمْ, so that the people will come there and they will witness the benefits that God has created for them. Mm-hmm. So it could be that Muslims, by going to the pilgrimage, will meet Muslims from other parts of the world. They will have some ways of sharing ideas and inventions and learning from each other. And so science and civilization would blossom as a result of this kind of international interaction.
Mm-hmm. Some have said that when a Muslim performs pilgrimage, they feel a connection not just with the people around them, but also with history, with what has come before.
Yeah, definitely. You know, recently I saw the film Journey to Mecca, the story of Ibn Battuta, at the Ontario Science Centre, and it was a very moving story. It was a story about Ibn Battuta, who is known to be a world traveller from the early 14th century. His dream was that he would make the pilgrimage flying on the wings of a bird. And of course, at the time, people did not conceive of air travel. Mm-hmm. This would come later on, and nowadays we do make the pilgrimage in a way on
the wings of the bird.
Yeah. But his story is quite interesting, and it makes one reflect and think about the fact that the religion of Islam has certain features which can actually spur the growth of civilization. Just the impetus to go and make the pilgrimage actually requires this kind of journey, and through journeys people think more. You know, nowadays people journey for pleasure. There was a time when people would not journey for pleasure because the ways were quite difficult. Ibn Battuta himself, in order to make the Hajj, had to face robbers on the way. In fact, his money was stolen, he was beaten, he was about to be killed, mm-hmm. Until some brave person came to his rescue. And that person could not save his money. The money had to go, and eventually he was healed and he pursued his way to Hajj. But the point is that the requirement to make the pilgrimage forced Muslims in a way to journey out of their dwellings and out of their familiar surroundings to encounter new lands and to meet new people and to learn new ideas.
So what is required of the Hajj? Are there certain rituals?
Yes. One proceeds to Mecca, where one circumambulates the Kaaba, the sacred house that was established by Abraham. And then one runs back and forth between the two mountains, Safa and Marwa, which is just neighboring the sacred house, mimicking the action of Ishmael's mother, who went in search for water for her baby. And then one proceeds to a place called Arafah, where it is, there one witnesses a massive gathering of Muslims from all over the world, some 2 million people nowadays, all praying and beseeching God, asking for God's forgiveness on that plane. People are dressed with simple clothing. Men usually wear two pieces of unstitched cloths draped around their bodies. And there is a sense of equality. There is a sense of returning to nature. There is a sense of being in close connection with God.
And the idea is that when you come back, you're supposed to be, you know, kind of revitalized and changed in some way.
Yes, and one then clips or shaves one's hair to mark a new beginning in life, as though one might be thinking of a baptism, for example. Mm-hmm. It marks a kind of a new beginning, and in the Islamic sense, it is thought that all of the previous sins are washed away and one comes back pure as the day when one was born.
Lots more we could say about that, but we have to break, so thank you.
You're welcome.
When we return, we will look at veiling in public places.